chapter 135, let us hear the word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage, an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endures forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwells at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far, the reading of Holy Scripture. Let's now call upon dear congregation. For some time now, we have been considering the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. This morning we are going to come to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and that conclusion is really a doxology, and a very fitting doxology. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. That's what we're going to consider this morning, and then that is followed by that little word, Amen, which we will consider next Lord's Day, the Lord willing. The doxology of the Lord's Prayer is not a petition. It's not like the six petitions that came before it. If you think, children, of what we have learned, how the Lord Jesus teaches us to address God in heaven as our Father who art in heaven, and from that flow all those six petitions. The first three that speak of God's kingdom, his name and his will. And then the third three that speak about us, our daily food and the need for forgiveness and to be not led into temptation and delivered from the evil one. And now we stand before the conclusion. And it's introduced by the little word for, a little conjunction. So that we may say already, right up front, that we pray as we do. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. As we consider that this morning, that doxology that the Lord Jesus taught us, that we must ask ourselves whether we are able, when we pray, to express this doxology. We have to ask ourselves if the prayers that we offer have risen out of a thankful adoration of our hearts toward our Heavenly Father. And that the goal of our prayer, as is to be the goal of our whole life, is to be to the glory of this God. Well, Let's consider it together this morning. Lord's Day 52, question and answer 128. You can find it on page 87. Question 128. How do you conclude your prayer? And the answer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee because thou, being our King and Almighty, are willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. So together this morning we consider the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. We will see that first of all it is a confession of adoration. Secondly, a motivation for all prayer. And then thirdly, the ground for children's prayers. The doxology of the Lord's Prayer, confession of adoration, motivation for all prayer, and the ground for children's prayers. First of all, then, we need to think about what does this word doxology mean. Doxology means to speak of glory, or a word of glory. And it has reference to the royal majesty. In this case, the royal majesty of the Lord our God. So it is an expression of praise to God. A confession of adoration of this God. This Father in heaven. The highly exalted one, set apart from all creatures. And you find those doxologies throughout Scripture. We sing the doxology often. Now, blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel. We find it at the end of Psalm 72. There's also doxologies many times in prayers. Let me read you just one example from 1 Chronicles 29. Where the people have given willingly for the building of the temple. And David leads the people of Israel in congregational prayer. And this is his doxology. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. There's David's doxology. Speaking great things to the glory of the Lord his God. And David used those words, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Well, then it shouldn't surprise us, should it, that the greater David comes along, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when his disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, then this Lord Jesus, who always in all things was seeking to glorify his heavenly Father, that he directs his disciples to pray with this language, for thine is the kingdom. And the power and the glory forever. And we find those doxologies throughout the New Testament. Think just of 1 Timothy 1:17. Unto the King, the eternal, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. And see, we approach God in prayer. We need to remember when we approach God in prayer, that we do so consciously, entering into his awesome glory. That when we go to pray, then we are standing before God Almighty, the glorious majesty, just like the angels stand before him. And they cover their faces because of his holiness. And our whole prayer is to be to the glory of God, because prayer is an expression of thankfulness to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thankfulness always glorifies and praises the person we are thanking. When we say thank you to somebody, that is to the praise of that person. So no matter what we are praying, whether it is the first three petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, or whether the three petitions that have to do with us, give us this day our daily bread, deliver us from evil, forgive us our debts, it all must be to the glory of God. Every time we pray, we need to be conscious of this. That we must lift up our prayers to His glory. And still there's a great difference between the six petitions and the doxology. The doxology doesn't ask for anything. The doxology expresses gratitude, sincere gratitude for being able to stand in the presence of the thrice holy God. What a great place of blessedness that God has given to His people. To be able to approach Him in Christ Jesus and to speak with this God face to face. What a blessed place to be in the presence of Him to whom belong all things. He who is the King Almighty, the King All Glorious. And at the same time, He who is our faithful Father for Jesus' sake, who is willing and able to give us all good. That's the idea of the doxology in a believer's prayers. In our prayers, we enter into the very presence of God consciously. We can never begin to pray without having that consciousness in our minds that where are we now? In the very presence of God. We stand in the sanctuary of God, busy in fellowship with this God. And when we stand in the presence of God spiritually, with the mind of faith, then we cannot help but praise Him. What else can we do in His presence but glorify Him? And see, so this doxology comes, and we hear it this morning, how our prayers ought to be. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it shows us, doesn't it? It exposes how pathetically poor and weak our prayers often are. It shows us that even for prayer, we need to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when we approach God in prayer, our prayers can never just be thoughtless expressions. How could that possibly glorify God? So when we come before God with this doxology, that's never the result of approaching Him flippantly or thoughtlessly. Our prayers then can never just be mere repetitions of little phrases that we've said over and over. Not if we truly speak to Him with this confession of adoration. But when we pray in the consciousness of being in the presence of Almighty God, then we must express our gratitude in the form of a doxology. And as we have prayed the Lord's Prayer now for the past number of weeks, as we have considered every part of it, we have approached God in Christ Jesus, His Son, our Lord. We have prayed standing in His sanctuary as He has revealed it in His holy word. seeing Him as the God of our salvation. That, my friends, is prayer. Coming into the very presence of God on His throne of grace in Christ Jesus the Lord. We must always realize that apart from life in Christ, there is no true prayer. Outside of Christ, there is no prayer. Because in prayer, we appear in the very presence of God, in the presence of His majestic holiness, of His perfect purity, of His absolute majesty, and no one can appear there in that presence and live. No one can stand there unless it be in Christ His Son. And so true prayer is always an activity of faith. And nothing less. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatever is not of faith is sin, including prayer. Including prayer. And so we stand in prayer before God, the God of our salvation, confessing our adoration for Him. We have prayed all these things. We have sought, O Father, to glorify Thy name, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Three expressions of adorations. Thine is the kingdom. And that kingdom, that is the domain which is under God's rule. And according to the Word of God, that is the entire universe. There is nothing that exists that is outside of God's dominion. And the God to whom we pray, the only true God, and our Heavenly Father, He is active. He is working in His rule over that kingdom. And at the same time, He always rules with a view to those who are in Christ Jesus. Always ruling for the glory of His own name and the benefit of His own people. Read it in Psalm 135. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For His peculiar people. In the New Testament, you see that that is one of the names of God's elect. The saints are called the peculiar people of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Oh, this God rules almighty in His kingdom. Over His kingdom in Christ. Over the people chosen out of this world. According to John 15, verse 19, He rules. He rules by His grace in the hearts of all those who believe in Him. He rules there, revealing His goodness, His wisdom, His holiness, His grace. Thy kingdom come. We prayed that, right? In the second petition, we prayed it because that kingdom, we learned, is revealed and enlarged and it's perfected. And that kingdom must take place in our own hearts so that we would submit ourselves more and more to this God, this King. Thine is the kingdom. That's what we acknowledge in the doxology, in the confession of adoration, in the Lord's Prayer. And we acknowledge that He has given us an awesomely blessed place in that kingdom. A place of fellowship with God Himself through Christ. And dear believers, because His is the kingdom, we pray with confidence, with boldness, knowing that all things must work together for our good. All things must contribute to our spiritual advantage, according to Romans 8, verse 28. We pray this confidently because nothing can separate us from this King's love in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For thine is the kingdom. And we continue, thine is the power. O, our sovereign God. Our sovereign God is the King of Kings. His is all the power. He is the one who accomplishes His own good pleasure. Looking back at Psalm 135 once again, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever He pleased, that's what He did. In heaven, in the seas, in the earth, in all deep places, His is a universal power. And all the universe is controlled by His power, by His almighty will. And that power is His eternally. He is the King. He is the Almighty. And as such, not only is He willing, but able to give us all that we ask for, in accordance with His will. And not only is He willing, but able to subdue and conquer all the enemies of His kingdom, and to turn to our advantage everything. Nothing is excluded. Everything that happens in our lives. He is willing. He is able even to lead us and to bring us to heaven itself. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Forever. And we confess too, thine is the glory. Have you thought of that? When you pray, you stand before the awesome glory of God Almighty. You stand before Him in Christ. And He is inexpressibly beautiful and glorious. He is the one who possesses all excellencies. All perfections are in Him. With our minds, we can't even conceive it. We can't express it with our tongues what and who He is. And it's only by His own special revelation, the Word of God through the Spirit, that we come to know Him. And that we come to realize that He knows us. And it's only by His grace, and by that most magnificent of all His works. What is that, children? What is the most magnificent work of God? That is the wondrous work of God in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Whereby He opens the way for sinners like us to come back to Him. And to speak with Him. As children to a loving Father. Doesn't it move you to holy astonishment and to a confession of adoration
unto him.
Who is he? He's the one who dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. And yet, he's the one who takes sinners into covenant fellowship with himself. With himself. And gives them life. Life. And so that doxology of the Lord's Prayer is exclaimed and expressed and shouted and lauded by the church of all ages in song, in prayer, in a holy life. And that doxology will be sung even in all eternity. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 4, verse 11. Is that your conscious perception of this God as you approach him in prayer? Notice something else. We confess in this doxology that God alone possesses these things. The kingdom, the power, the glory. These things can only be said of the Lord our God and of no one and nothing else. We don't pray, for thine is a kingdom. No, we don't. We don't say, thou hast great power, though that is true. We don't say, thou hast awesome glory, though that's true too. But it's not just a matter of comparing this God to something else outside of him. No, we confess in this doxology, thine is the kingdom, the only kingdom, without exception. All the rule in heaven and on earth, none excluded, is God's in Christ and God's alone. We say, thine is the power. There is no power but of him. There is no strength but what is given of God. Thine is the glory, exclusively. There's only one glory, and that is the glory of God. And then we say, we confirm it, that little word that the Lord Jesus taught us, forever. Forever. Not thine was the kingdom, or was the power, or was the glory, or thine is the kingdom today, and the power today, and the glory today, but no, forever. This God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the God to whom we sinners may pray in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's why Christ gave us a doxology in prayer. Not only that we may realize that our prayers are to be God glorifying, but that our whole lives, our whole goal and purpose in life is to live to the glory of God. Well, this doxology is also a motive for all prayer. We'll take a look at that in a moment after we sing. 397, verses 5 through 8. The Lord our God is rich in grace, most tender and compassionate. His anger is most slow to rise. His loving kindness is most great. 5, 6, 7, and 8 of 397. The doxology of the Lord's Prayer is also a motive for all prayer. That's evident from that little word, for. That means that the doxology is the ground for all that we pray, the motive, the motivation for all true prayer. Everything that we pray for, everything we pray, we pray for because thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Children, think about that. Usually those little words in Scripture are so important. It's the same with that little word here. Children learn to read little words first. Little words like for. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful word in this doxology. That little word is so significant. That little word that Jesus spoke to his disciples. That little word inspired by the Holy Spirit. That little word for. That's the motive. For. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We don't pray these things for our needs are so great. We don't pray these things for we want all people to be saved. We don't pray these things for what we think we need or what we think is so important. We pray these things because thine is the kingdom. And the power and the glory, the motive for prayer is never in us. It's always in God. That's why that little word for is so important. Why do we pray? Here we have the answer. Did you ever think about that? We have these long, drawn-out prayers sometimes, right? Especially from here. Ever wonder why we pray? Because God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is the motivation for all prayer. It is found in God and never in us. If the motivation for prayer was found in us, would be a hopeless case. There is no ground in us. There is nothing in us. It's all in God. True prayer is God-centered, not self-centered. Even those petitions that we pray about our own needs, even the petitions the Lord Jesus taught us to pray for our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a God-centered prayer. We pray for that bread so that we may live and have strength to glorify the Lord. So it's God-centered. Forgive us our sins. We pray that prayer because forgiveness glorifies the Lord our God. The motivation is in Him. Thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. In prayer, we approach God with our petitions only because thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Imagine if the kingdom was not God's forever. Imagine if the power were not God's forever. Imagine if the glory were not God's forever. How then could we pray? We would have nothing to plead upon. We would have nothing to say to God. How could sinners approach a God who doesn't have all the kingdom and the power and all the glory? But what a privilege. What a privilege, dear believers, that we may pray to the one whom we can consciously address. The confident knowledge welling up from our hearts. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. That also means that the end or the goal or the purpose of everything for which we pray, no matter what it is to be the glory of God. Think about the things we pray for on a daily basis. What is the goal? Do we pray for food so that our bellies will be full? So we can be comfortable? Or do we pray for food and all things necessary for this life so that we may live a life that gives glory to God? See, that doxology that serves to show us what the motive of all our prayers ought to be. It explains why Jesus taught his disciples to pray as he did. Why pray for these things, Jesus? Well, because thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And we pray all these things not for ourselves, but for God's glory. That God may be exalted. That his name may be lifted up. That his Son may be more and more glorified. And that's what makes this doxology such a very solemn confession too. At the end of our prayers, we must answer the question, did I truly pray this way? Can we say at the end of our prayers, Lord, we pray these things for thy cause. Father God, not merely for what we think we need, but for thy cause, for thy name, for thy glory. Can you say that at the end of your prayers? It's no wonder. Is it? No wonder the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. The more you look at it, the more you study the Lord's Prayer, the more that question comes up. Lord, teach me to pray. So that the focus of all our petitions, the focus of all our praying is not our own outward and earthly advantage, but the manifestation of God's kingdom. And his power and his glory. The Lord's Prayer begins and ends with the glory of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And it ends with the glory of God. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And the purpose of our souls is to seek and to promote the glory of God. That's what we were created to do. And that, dear child of God, is what you were recreated to do now. It's the most important part of thankfulness as Christians, is prayer to the glory of God. Whatever it is that we desire, whatever we express our desires to God ought only to be a means to that end. A means to the glorying of God. Like the Catechism says, all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. Sometimes people say to me, if I pray to be converted, then I'm just thinking of my own skin. It's a selfish prayer. Is it now? When God converts a sinner, who gets the glory? He does. All of it. So you may pray that, my dear friend. Those of you who still stand afar off, who just can't get there, you think. To stand in your own way. Here in the Lord's Prayer, in the doxology, you have the motive for your prayers. But you just told us, Pastor, that without faith, outside of Christ, there is no true prayer. That's right. Exactly. So the minute you know that, you get on your knees and you acknowledge that. And you say to him, oh Lord Jesus, make me one of yours now. Then I too can pray. And then you will already be praying. We can, we may approach our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. We may ask all things in his name for his sake. It is for Christ's sake alone that this glorious Father in heaven hears our prayers. It is for Christ's sake alone that he will give us all that we ask of him according to his will. It's all and alone for the sake of Christ Jesus. You know what happens? When a sinner prays to the Lord God, and Jesus takes those poor prayers to his fathers and he says to his father, "Oh, Father, do it for my sake." That's what it means that he's interceding. Do it for my sake, Father. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Because, you see, only in Christ can we see God this way. Only in Christ can we express and confess our adoration to God. Only in Christ is this God our salvation. Otherwise, there is no thankfulness in our hearts. You think you have ever said thank you to the Lord? Truly? Outside of Christ? No, you haven't. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Apart from being a member of the family of God through his grace, apart from being adopted for Jesus' sake, you have no right in the family of God. What does it say in John 1? To as many as believed on them, to them he gave the power to be the sons of God. So as long as you don't believe on him, you have no right even to call him God, our Father, outside of Christ. But in Christ Jesus, you see, as members of his body, as the bride of Christ, then and then only do we begin to seek the glory of God's holy name, because we can do none otherwise. Because that's what this Lord Jesus does. And believers are being conformed into his image. So if his goal and purpose of his whole life was to give glory to God, then it becomes a believer's goal too. That's the motivation that drives you to glorify God. Do you see now what a blessed place God has given you? To stand where you stand, dear believer. You talk about liberty. This is liberty. That a sinner may come into the very presence of God and address him, because Jesus said so, as our Father who art in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And so we pray this doxology with our hearts. Our Father in heaven. This is why we prayed as we did. This was the motive for our prayer. We stand before thee only in Christ. We stand before thee only as partakers of his blessed Holy Spirit, and therefore as members of the family whom God loves in Christ. So you see, outside of Christ, there is only death and despair. But in Christ is everything. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, members of his family. And you know that family includes all children. The Lord said to his disciples, "Except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter my kingdom." That means all of God's people are like little children. Little children. But the Lord's family also includes little children. Little people. Like the one sitting in the pews here this morning. 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. And maybe even a little older. And when the parents teach those little children to pray, they begin using simple words. Words like, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Parents, will you teach your children that prayer? Because the doxology of the Lord's Prayer is also the ground for children's prayers. This afternoon, we hope to have the administration of the sacrament of baptism. And two covenant children shall receive the sign of God's covenant. And when those two little children, along with all the other children of the congregation, get a little older, and they begin to think, and they begin to speak, their parents will teach them how to pray. But on what ground may those little children expect anything from God? Those little children of whom Scripture says they are conceived and born in sin. What ground can there be that they expect anything good from God? Well, that's the same ground as the ground for baptism. The covenant faithfulness of God. That covenant faithfulness that He has shown forth in His glorious covenant of grace, sealed with the blood of His own dear Son. Because the water of baptism directs our eyes to the finished work of Christ, to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And then children, your parents will teach you. They will teach you that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, being sorry for your sins, and believing in Him, then God in heaven is your Father. For Jesus' sake. That you may always come back to the Father. He will never chase you away. He'll never tell you, "Well, now you've sinned too much. You can't come back to me now. Or you're not sorry enough." No. Through the Lord Jesus, you may come to the Father and have direct access to come boldly to His throne of grace. When we express in the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," then we are addressing our Father who art in heaven. And yet at the same time, the kingdom, the power, and the glory are also revealed as belonging to Christ. To the Lord Jesus. That's why, you see, that's why we may come to this God in His Son. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And in John 10, verse 30, He said to those same disciples, "I and my Father are one." So that when we come to the Lord Jesus, we are already coming to the Father. "No man comes to the Father but by me," He said. John 14, verse 6. When we pray, "Thine is the kingdom," then Jesus says three times in John 18, verse 36, "That is my kingdom." My kingdom is my Father's kingdom too. That's one and the same kingdom. And we pray, "Thine is the power." And Jesus says, Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And we pray, "Thine is the glory." And the Holy Spirit says in James 2, verse 1, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." It's not so difficult when you let Scripture say what it says and believe it. And that same Lord Jesus who says, "I and my Father are one," He said one day, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest for your soul. Come then to Him and come back to Him. Don't try to do it your own way. It'll never work. There's only one way. That's His way. Children, always remember, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And your parents, they love you so much. They love you so much that they will teach you to pray to God the Father through the Son, by the Spirit. They will teach you to pray for that blessed work of the Holy Spirit in your young hearts. As soon as you can begin to talk, they will be teaching you to pray. So that the first thing you memorize will be Our Father, which art in heaven. They will teach you to pray. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will wash away all your sins. They will teach you to pray. That this God the Father will see you as His child in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. They will teach you to pray. That your whole life will be like a doxology. Not just saying it, not just singing it, but living it. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. They will teach you to pray. That all your thoughts, and all your words, and all your actions will give glory to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will teach you to pray the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord our God, we have entered again into thy very presence this morning. We realize, O Lord, that this is only possible in and through thy Son, Christ Jesus. It is also in his name that we call upon thee now. O Lord, look upon us in him. See us through his blood. Remember us and our children. Lord, give us as parents diligence. Give us as parents the great encouragements, not from ourselves, not from our children, but from our faithful, covenant-keeping God, through Christ thy Son. Lord, be with us in our time of catechism classes now. We pray for each student that they, Lord, may treat thy word respectfully. They may learn the precious doctrine of the holy word of God, that they may show due respect to their teachers. Be with the teachers, Lord, give us all diligence too. Help us, Lord, to explain things in a simple way that all may understand. Let it never be said, O Lord, that it was too difficult. For thy gospel is oh so simple. Lord, wilt thou ever prevent us from making it complicated? Bring us safely to our homes afterwards and back again this afternoon. We may rejoice together in the administration of the Holy Sacrament and in the proclamation of the Word. We pray these things acknowledging we don't deserve the least of thy blessings, but wilt thou do it? For Jesus' sake, amen. We close with number 49. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. All three verses of 49, and the doxology is number 413. 314, pardon me. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.